Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. Troy Dooley here, and I tell you, you know, I don't know how your 2011 has started off, but mine is just flat rocking, both in business and my personal life. Man, I'm proud of my baby girl. She just finished her deadline, got her newest book in, and has already got some other books that are on the table of the editors for this year. So it's just a rocking year. The kids are doing great. She's doing great. You know, when your family's doing good, you get excited. You know, I was here last night. We had Dalton and Felicia, my youngest of my older boys, here at the house, had a little bit of dinner, and we're just chatting. They're excited. And as I was sitting there last night watching them, I got to thinking, you know, this is pretty cool because right now they're going on a lot of faith. And I thought, how ironic that we're in this chapter this morning on faith. See, they're just a few days away from a beautiful, brand new baby boy coming into this world. And I thought, you know, this is kind of interesting because people, when it comes to faith, I'm not talking just spiritual faith, I'm just flat faith, period, in life. You know, it takes a lot of risk. They went to the gynecologist, they went to the OBGYN, whatever you call these things, I don't know all these girly talks. And I thought, they believed the piece of paper on the wall that said, hey, I'm an expert. I'm good at what I do. Do you ever notice that those certificates on the wall, they don't tell you if that person graduated in the top half of the class or the bottom 10% of the class? But yet, we put our faith in that certificate. When we go out here and we're driving down the road and we see red lights behind us, we stop, and we put faith in the fact that that's a real cop coming up to the car that's going to give us a ticket. When we go to the store and we buy food, we take a chance. We take it with faith that food really is good for us. When we watch the news, it actually takes a little bit of faith to believe in what's being said. Lord knows we do that in politics. So as I started reading today, I thought, you know, from taking and putting your faith in a doctor to putting your faith in a politician to putting your faith in a company or even your spouse, we all have to deal with faith in one facet or another. Today in John's book, Make Today Count, the secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. Faith played a major part in my day. You know, this is the first time since before Christmas that I decided I'm just going to go have a bite to eat. Harbor Docks has been closed. That's my watering hole. Won't open up again until February. So I went over to the donut hole this morning. And I'm sitting there and I'm just thanking God for what I have. Then my business partner, Dennis Dottel, calls and we have this wonderful conversation and he shares with me some of the things that he'd been praying about this morning and one of the prayer requests or really one of the things that just keeps permeating in his mind. I said, well, buddy, I'm going to write that down because since we both share a common faith, I said, you know, we're two or more gathered, there he is. So I wrote down what he was praying about, and I'm going to be praying daily about it too. See, in one facet or another, all of our life revolves around faith. John writes this, I grew up in a household filled with faith. My father, Melvin, became a pastor as a young man and remains in ministry to this day at age 83. Now, Maxwell has passed away now, but great guy. He said, I heard words of faith from him and my mother, Laura, every day growing up, but we can't live by somebody else's faith. There are no spiritual grandchildren. Every person must make his own decision and act on it with integrity. Now listen to this. At age 17, I made my faith decision. I will accept God's gift of his son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Now, this is one of the reasons I love Maxwell so much is because we share this common experience. I grew up in church, was in church basically from the age of about, I don't know, 7 or 8, a little bit before then, but up until all through my adulthood. Now, the dilemma is, just like a lot of teenagers, I saw a lot of crap go on in church. I saw things that I just disagreed with, things that I thought was ignorant, things that I thought was truly a what do you call it, a hypocritical deal. I remember going to my bestest friend, my pastor, and saying, will you marry me? And he looked at me, and now he wasn't the senior pastor, he was just one of the pastors, and he said, Troy, I can't marry you because you were married already. And I had been at a very early age, didn't last long, about a year and a half. I said, wow, really? And yet a year later, the pastor married the secretary's daughter, and she'd had a baby out of wedlock. So I saw a lot of hypocritical crap like that. So the first chance I got to get away from church, I did. I joined the Marine Corps. I got out. I was pretty much out. I just said, I'm done. I don't need this. I saw my mom and dad, and they walked a pretty good path of faith. I learned a lot from them, but they, you know, just like everybody, they had their own glitches. I went through the 80s and saw all these guys from the denomination that we were at fall that were on TV. Sex scandals, money scandals, you name it, it was there. I thought, man, why feel guilty? If you're going to do this stuff anywhere, let's just go have fun and not feel the guilt. I remember those days. Paige held on to her faith, man, like crazy. I remember when we were separated in 1989. She was pregnant with Dalton. I was running a successful bounty hunting and bail bond business. I let the power and the money and the everything just go to my head. We separated. And I'll never forget, I had a three-story office building. I'd move my offices instead of the top floor to the lowest floor, let my people have that upstairs view. I was downstairs working one night late. I went into the kitchen area that we had. It had been raining cats and dogs, and we had a sump pump in that basement office to keep the water from flowing in. And I'm standing there making a cup of coffee. I think it was coffee. You know, probably it was tequila. If I was to be really, you know, just straightforward. That late at night, even raining, it was probably a tequila at that time. And I remember opening up the little sliding door that separated the kitchen area from where that sump pump is. And I looked down into that hole of that sump pump, that murky black water. And I thought, you know, this is where my life's heading if I don't get my act together. At that moment in time, that was the closest thing to hell I could think about. And I thought, wow, you know, my life is just spinning out of control. The woman that I had said I loved, the woman that I craved to be with, I've separated from. My family's in turmoil. My business had just had an organized crime figure run. So we were trying to hunt him down without some other issues coming up. Now, I remember it was that night that I said, you know what? If there's a God, I'm going to figure it out. If Jesus Christ is the way, then I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get rid of all the other crap, all the denominational do's and don'ts, all the judgmentalness, all that crap. And if Jesus Christ and God really is about hope and opportunity, mercy and fairness, grace, I'll figure it out. I was about 25 at the time. Wasn't that I hadn't grown up in church surrounded by faith, but I just saw that I didn't want anything to do with other people's faith. So when I started reading John's chapter today, looking at my own family, I started to realize my sons have even made this choice. They're trying to find their own path. It may not end up being mine, and I have to deal and live with that. But no matter what, there will be faith. See, John writes this, and I think this is profound. That decision, more than any other, has shaped my life. It has forged my worldview. Recognition of God's love for everyone has influenced how I view others. That's true with me too. In the year 2000, about a decade after I was separated from Paige is when I hooked up with John Maxwell's organization, Catalyst. The first time I picked up his Bible, the Maxwell Leadership Bible, and I started reviewing things, I started feeling that my decision had been right, that I didn't want to get hooked up with all the denominational crap. I just wanted to love Jesus myself. I wanted to be an authentic believer, not just a follower. And that I wanted to make sure that I gave everybody I came in contact with the same grace that I felt Jesus Christ had given me. Sometimes I failed at that, and we may had to make changes because we're all human. But what I found out was that whether people believed in my faith or not, everybody has faith. The other thing that I realized is that true leadership starts with the heart. It starts with character. When you have faith, spiritual faith of any kind, it can even be Islamic. That faith runs deep into your heart. See, we all have to have that faith. That faith shapes our worldview. It shapes our character. I thought, wow. Something that John writes in here, and I find this pretty profound, is as simple as it is. He says, the underlying message from God is not to act differently, but to become different. Not to act honestly, but to become an honest person. Then honesty will be at your core of your leadership style. See, when I started realizing that faith is about wanting to be different, it's wanting to feel complete, it's wanting to feel content. Do you realize that when you're content with your life, you're easy to go out and talk to other people about everything? But when your life is screwed up, when you're not happy with where you are, when you feel depressed, man, you don't want to talk to anybody. I mean, that just is the way life is. When you're a judgmental person, always judging other people, then guess what? You anticipate that people are going to judge you. So that's where true faith must come in. John writes this, making the decision to deepen and live our faith daily is part of our secret to success. See, it's funny because in America, everybody's a Christian, like 80-some-odd percent of people are Christian. And I laugh because I think that probably term isn't what it used to be. I think what we need to look at is, where is our faith? What have we put our faith in? See, John writes it this way. We already have faith. The important choice is where we place it. See, I think that's the key right there. Author John Basmio, I screwed up that name, said, faith is at the heart of life. You go to a doctor whose name cannot be pronounced. I can't even pronounce his name. He gives you a prescription you cannot read. You take it to a pharmacist who you've never seen before, and he gives you a medicine that you do not understand, yet you take it. Remember at the top of the hour when I said my son and daughter had gone to the OBGYN? And because of the certificate on the wall, they placed their faith in the hands of that doctor for that newborn baby that will be delivered the next week. But they don't have a clue if they graduated at the top of their class or at the bottom of their class. See, I think that's the key. People don't understand faith. They see it as some mystical thing. It's some spiritual journey, and to a certain degree it is. But deep inside, I see an issue, and I think that's what John's trying to say here. See, we want to understand faith on the surface, but deep inside we don't. We just accept it. And we accept it based on our upbringing. Tom Hopp talks about this. See, we put faith in that everything our mom and dad says are true. So it helps shape our worldview. But yet as we grow older, we find out that what we thought was faith sometimes really is just a myth. That's where John's book comes in handy. Listen to what he says here. He says, understand that faith is often birthed out of difficulties. He said, I've already shared, and we didn't go into all the stories, but he says, I already shared how some skeptical people see faith as a negative thing, almost as a sign of weakness. If faith is new to you and you are uncertain how to approach it, then I have advice. Then I would advise you to view an opportunity for a course correction in the journey of life. And I thought about that, and I mean, he's got a great point here. He says, if you're experiencing difficulties, allow yourself to explore faith as a response to it. See, if you're going through a difficult time in life, maybe you keep seeing yourself, man, I keep trying, I keep going after the people to build my organization, I jump from company to company to company, and I just can't make it. Maybe it's time to dig deep inside and say, do I stand for anything? Is there anything that I totally believe in? See, everybody understands that I believe in America. I have a passion for America. There's no doubt about that. People know that I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. They don't have a problem with that. I don't shove it down people's throat. I don't tell you you're going to hell in a handbasket if you don't believe the way I believe. I just make it clear where I stand on issues. Can you do that? On any issue. See, if you can't stand on any issue, whether it's politics, whether it's quote-unquote religion, whether it's faith, even your wife, are you out there all the time checking out the other babes and thinking, man, it'd sure be great if I could hook up with one of them babes? And yet at home you're lying and saying to your wife, everything's fine, honey, I just love you to death. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what John's talking about. See, if you don't have faith in your relationship, if you don't have faith in God, if you don't have faith in your company, in you, if you don't have faith that you can do it, how in the world do you expect to make a change? A faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. Think about that. A faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. It's funny, isn't it? Listen to this. It's not enough to simply make a faith decision. If you want to live it out, then you have to work at deepening it. Faith gives you peace and strength only if it's not superficial. The deeper the faith, the greater the potential to carry you through rough times. Rabbi Adam Herschel said, faith, like Job's, cannot be shaken because it is a result of having been shaken. When I look back in my own life, and people say, Troy, how can you believe? And I sit down and I look at the flashpoints in my life. I'm going through a book right now we're going to be doing on our other radio show called Kazon, which is Hebrew for vision. And I share with people my first true experience that I feel I had with God. When I was about 8 or 9 years old at Canyon de Chelly, down in, I think it's Arizona, it may be New Mexico. I saw a lizard going across the top of a rock. I was so engrossed in checking out what that lizard was doing and seeing if I could capture that lizard that I did not realize that I was headed toward the edge of the cliff. There was an aluminum bar to keep you from going over the edge that actually came to right about my knee level, which means had I hit that, I would have propelled myself over 700 feet of sheer drop to the bottom. Out of the blue, it felt like somebody had just put their hand, because I was backing up towards this, I was not facing it. It felt like that somebody had placed their hand in the middle of my back and pushed me forward. There was nobody behind me. It was sheer space. That was my first experience that I feel was a God intervention. Yeah, maybe it was just the wind blowing off the canyon. I mean, we can justify anything, and I'm not trying to change what you might believe. I'm just saying at that time, my faith had been tested, and I've never forgot that one experience. I can bring them back home, and they're not so miraculous per se. I remember taking white shoe polish and writing on the door of my house, Paige, I love you, please forgive me and take me back. That was after she'd swore that she didn't want anything else to do with me. Not because she'd done anything wrong, because I had. 23 years later, we're still married. I love her more today than I've ever loved her in the past. Her faith in me was tested, and now it's trusted. See, once you make a decision of faith, there's a few things that you have to do, and I want to cover these here. Number one, you've got to embrace the value of faith. This is an everyday deal. This isn't something you do today and then you blow it off for 2 months. You contrast science with faith and the core beliefs of Judaism and Christianity, and nothing has changed in 1,000 years. But see, most of us don't embrace the value of our faith. We just want to go to church because everybody else goes to church, or we want to say we're a Christian or we're a Mormon or whatever we are. It doesn't matter. You can be Catholic. We really don't know why we are, except it's just a thing to do because everybody else has done it. You need to embrace your faith. You need to understand it. You know, I respect the office of the presidency, but something that's frustrated me with our current president, President Obama, is that he feels this antiquated philosophy that you don't mix faith and politics, that you don't mix faith and business. Your faith should be your life. It should be public and private. It should be the way you are. It should be who you are. People should see and understand who and what you are every day and know without a shadow of a doubt where you stand. I believe faith shapes your ethics and your character. Number two, put God in the picture. Now, this is interesting. Listen to what John writes right here. There's a story of a man driving a convertible on a mountain road who took an unexpected turn too quickly and went right over the edge. As his car fell, he managed to grab a hold of a tree sprouting out of the cliff face as his car plummeted 1,000 feet to the canyon floor. "Help!" he screamed. "Can anyone hear me?" An echo was his only response. Suddenly, he said, "God, can you hear me?" Suddenly, the clouds rolled together and a voice like thunder said, "Yes, I can hear you. Will you help me?" "Yes, I will help you. Do you believe in me?" "Yes, I believe in you, God. Do you trust me?" "Yes, yes, I trust you. Please hurry." "If you trust me, then let go of the tree," thundered the voice. After a long silence, the man cried out, "Anyone else hear me?" Sometimes I think that's how we see our faith. That's how we see our faith in our company. That's how we see our faith in our God. That's even how we see our faith in our spouses. See, if you want to embrace faith, you must let God into your life. Now, this is where I'm getting personal, guys. It's my personal belief that you have to let God, the Father of Jesus Christ, into your life. You got to let Him help control it. That's my personal belief. I believe that my success is due to God's intervention in my life. I believe that my screw-ups and my failures are me trying to take control of my life. And each step along the way, I mess it up. I pray constantly these days. I make changes in my life on a regular basis to improve both my relationships with people in public and my private relationships with my family. It's the only way to do it. Number three, you've got to associate with people of faith. I believe that some of the greatest people in business today are faith-believing people. They don't believe totally everything I believe. Guys like Glenn Beck, guys like Bill O'Reilly, even President Obama. I believe that when men and women of faith truly put their faith at the forefront, that even when they make decisions that I may not agree with, those decisions would have been God-ordained. It's that plain and simple. I believe when we go out there and we try to make decisions on our own, we will falter and fail. So why would we want to associate with people that have no faith if we're trying to live a successful life and change our daily agenda? That's the question that we must ask ourselves. Listen to this. John writes, "If it's a fact that you become more like the people you spend time with, if you desire to increase your faith, then you will want to spend time with people who who exercise theirs. If you guys watched the video that I did last year when I made the decision to become the Senior Vice President of Sales at Ignite 360, then you know that one of my main reasons for accepting that position was because the men and women of that company are men and women of faith. And I knew that every decision that was made would be made with heartfelt prayer and meditation on what the Word of God says. I said they're the same family that I see with my Catalyst family out of Atlanta. Dysfunctional from the word go, but yet they love each other. When I looked at my company, one of the things that stood out that they walked their faith is that they made it very clear, we want to be a company that adds you to other people's lives. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I do all the time. I love serving other people. And number four, explore and deepen your faith. You should never take my word or anybody else's word for what something is. You should dig deep. One of the things that I did, I went and picked up a book several years ago called The Case for Christ by a former Chicago Tribune investigative reporter named Lee Strobel. I later picked up his book, Case for Faith. I wanted to dig deep. I wanted to find out more. I picked up some Jewish books, Philo, I think is how I pronounce it, and Josephus. Jewish scholars that were not quote-unquote Christians. I wanted to see what they had to say about certain things. I dug deep. I looked hard. I wanted to find out more. See, the thing about faith is exactly what it says. It's faith. You're believing in something that's unseen. You're putting something that you really don't know for sure, but the evidence points towards. And as I studied my faith and I said, how can I put this to work in business, I realized that people put their faith in what I write and what I say. And all of a sudden it started to dawn on me that when you use your faith, it actually gives you some extra power. People will see the inside of who you are and what you are. They will see your integrity or lack thereof. They will see your character or the lack thereof. They will question you. In some cases, you will step on their toes because of a lack of faith, and they will challenge your very existence. And I thought, that's what I want to do. And I made myself a personal creed and said, until they crucify me, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. I watched John Maxwell do that. I watched John follow his faith even when one of his biggest donors, biggest supporters said, if you start writing books for a secular publisher, I will stop supporting you. And John said, I know this is part of what I have to do to fulfill my faith, to fulfill my calling. Most business books, you wouldn't see the word faith. You wouldn't even see a whole chapter on there. You sure wouldn't see some radio host talking about it. But yet this shows ask yourself today, here's the takeaway. Where do you stand when it comes to faith today? Ask yourself these three questions. Have I already made the decision to deepen and live out my faith daily? If so, when did I make that decision? And what exactly did I decide? I know this has been a little bit deeper than what we sometimes go into. This is one of those topics people sometimes think you taboo to talk about. I believe it's the very essence. It's one of the pillars of your strength. John says it's one of the secrets of your success. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind as we dig into the chapter Relationships. John Maxwell's book, Make Today Count. Have a fantastic day.